It should be noted, and because I tend to not pay attention to the broadcast crew. I thought the broadcast crew did a really good job yesterday. I really liked McCarthy with Feely and Ross and then Amanda on the sidelines. I remember tweeting out, like, I don't know what that just was from Jameis. It was the first time. I tend to, when I hear stuff like that, I tend to go one of two ways. That this guy is about to have the game, like the game that nobody saw coming, or this guy is about to just go ahead and tank the season entirely. Like, that's what it felt like listening to Jameis. It just felt like it's something. And again, because you win, you get to sell me that he was so locked in. He just locked into the same two things when asked two very different questions. You're not going to get any argument out of me because they won. However, I am a little curious about how that stuff's going to play when if they lose. Again, that, who knows? That could be 5 weeks from now. But I remember just thinking, like, oh, that was different with Jameis. And listen, we're talking about this, and I think this is a real question. Should you keep Jameis post the deadline if all he does is make the offense watchable? Because I think it stands to reason that Jameis should be the better quarterback than DTR. DTR is a fifth-round pick. DTR is a guy who, in the short spurts of football we've seen from him, there's been some good, but by and large, he's looked like a guy who is not prepared to play. And you don't get, like, you don't get the Baltimore game and the Cincinnati game and get a third game where you look surprised that you had to play. Now, to me, I would say that's the coaching staff setting a player up for failure. If that player doesn't understand when somebody says, be ready, that means you might actually have to play this weekend, as opposed to like the general, hey, anything could happen. You never know. But again, I'll digress. Like, I'll put this on the young player. So I'll be honest with you. If tomorrow somebody called and offered you a third round pick for Jameis, you're not going to like my answer. It's still trade Jameis Winston. That one, I don't think that's happening. Two, I think what yesterday allows you with Jameis is to play him until it doesn't look like yesterday looked. So, for instance, I think you're going to be able to live when Jameis plays the way he did yesterday. You can live with one or two picks, right? It's the Joe Flacco principle. You can live with one or two picks depending on the context per game that those are thrown into the mix. What you can't live with is if all of a sudden it's the Kyle Hamilton at the end of the game where you're driving and he just blatantly misses somebody and throws right into the arms of an oncoming defender. And the difference between Joe and Jameis is Joe's picks were usually just arm hubris. They're just a guy who's just a gunslinger, and that's just a stylistic thing you have to live with. With Jameis, there's just times he just doesn't see guys. They're just blatant times where he's a bit of a space cadet. Like, this is, Jameis is, of all the players I've said, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, because I appreciate the change of energy and I appreciate the change. I appreciate that I'll actually start listening to Brown's press conferences expecting to hear something that I'm not expecting. I have to listen to every one of these just to make sure anything gets said, you and I get to talk about it. But now, I get to listen to, like, Jameis pre, post, and midweek interviews with, like, zeal. I'm excited to listen to Brown's press conferences because this dude is just of a different stratosphere. He's just of a different mindset. But there is a part of him that's a bit of a Martian. And if that just came out in the post-game or the pre-game or the midweek interviews, it'd be okay. No, this is the closest we are going to have for Manny being Manny. Well, I don't know if you guys remember in the mid-90s, because I sure do, because the great Danny Coughlin said something that I can't say on air at my dad's radio show in Youngstown that was the funniest response to a criticism of Manny Ramirez ever. And I can't share it with you. But let alone that my dad and I talked about it from that moment till the day my dad died. That's how great the late, great Danny Coughlin was. His ability to sum things up. That being said, to bring it all back here, Manny was the perpetual wunderkind of hitting like a three-run home run and then making the dumbest mistake in the field that like a high school player would know not to make. There's going to be some of that with Jameis. But as long as it's entertaining, man, am I up for this ride. Until somebody offers you a third-round pick. Or more. Who knows? Let's get greedy here. 216-474-0092. Should you keep Jameis if he makes the offense watchable? Meaning, let's say you lose to the Chargers this weekend, but it's a lot of fun. Is that enough for you? Josh in a car. What's up, buddy?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
I like that your energy's changed too, Josh.
Nick, I'm telling you, I was listening to Jameis' presser when they asked him about the fans, and I went and bought my wife and I tickets to the game. That's how amped up I got.
Are you going to sell, like, if you bought a couple tickets in a row, if they lost this weekend and Jameis says something just as charming, would you then sell the next tickets?
No.
So you're not on ticket-by-ticket basis. You're all in.
No. I'm actually a season ticket member, but my uncle and I would go on and off, and that was my off week. So I wanted to be there for it.
Very cool, buddy. What you got?
No, I think Jameis, where I'm not saying he is the short-term answer, but if he keeps running like this, maybe we could find a quarterback like him in the draft or like a Flacco, young Flacco, keep Kevin and ride with this thing. But I actually told Meredith, the guy that called earlier, he's getting all mad because people are shutting the door on Watson. It's like, I feel like we're in World War II and we just dropped the nuke. And there's still guys fighting on islands saying, like, the war's not over. It's over, dude. It's over. The proof is in the pudding. I wish Watson the best. It's over, man. You had Flacco come in last year. The offense looks totally different. Jameis Winston plays yesterday. Nobody's dropping passes. Everybody's happy. Nobody's shaking their head. The offensive line has something to fight for. Did you hear Kevin Stefanski's interview? He was saying things without saying it. What more do you need?
Josh, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? No, it wasn't. And you're going to say, Nick, it's not the Germans. Yes, it's called Animal House. Please watch it if you don't know the reference. Now, that being said, I did want to play a few more things here, including Jameis's post-game Thanksgiving speech.
We fought. We gave everything that we could possibly give. Thank you for the offensive line. Thank you for the defensive line of winning the trenches. And thank you for the Browns fans for coming up and standing up and helping us get a victory here at home.
I'm not wrong. That was like a Thanksgiving speech, right? Like, I want to thank God for the offensive linemen. I want to thank him for the running backs. I'd also like to thank him for that new raise we got. And, of course, thank you that Uncle Joey is out of jail. Now, there's one more. And probably the best thing ever, which is when Jameis post-game, and again, all this sound courtesy of CBS, introduced us to a rising young artist out of the city of Detroit.
It's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road. But, man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
This begs the question. Does Jameis think we don't know who Eminem is? Because anybody else sets it up like that, and you think to yourself, he doesn't think he just discovered Eminem, does he? I'm just saying, with Jameis, it's pretty reasonable that he might think he's about to turn us on to this young upstart rapper out of Detroit named Eminem. Yes, like the candy. Nathan Zagura next on 92.3 The Fan.